What you are about to hear, the views and opinions expressed on the Philip D. Blackman Show do not reflect the views of this station. You have been warned.
It's Friday! Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Philip D. Blackman, host of the Philip D. Blackman Show. Join me every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday right here at 5 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time. But in the meantime, friends, buckle up, get your mind right, and get ready for the fastest hour in radio. Thank you for tuning in. Let's get it started.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hey, hello, 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 ladies and gentlemen. Happy Friday. Welcome to the episode of the Philip D. Blackman Show. I am your host, Philip D. Blackman, and welcome to the fastest hour in radio. Yo, this show, this show that I've put together tonight, man. I gotta tell you, it's got me so damn animated that I'm actually doing this show standing tonight, ladies and gentlemen, because I just, what's going on in our country is one of these things that is, you know, here in the United States is one of these things, it's unbelievable, because what we're seeing right now is we're seeing the complete destruction of our country. You know, so here's the thing, right? The primary political problem that is to be addressed in a liberal democracy is how to ensure that a standing military does not become dangerous to the liberties of those people they are sworn to protect, especially guarding against the threat of these things that we're hearing about, these military coups, right? They're telling you white supremacy and every damn thing else is to run the risk, and there's no strong country without a strong military, and man, we're seeing it, yo. The question, It's an ancient pedigree. It's caused a lot of debate during the framing of the U.S. Constitution. So tonight we're going to be discussing the politicization of our military. You know, and it's resulting, you know, if you're following, which I mean anybody who watches what's going on in the military, they're following what's happening. They're seeing the anemic recruiting numbers and a huge mass exodus of senior leaders from the military. We no longer have combat veterans, it seems, in the military. Now, that's hyperbole a little bit. I'm painting with a broad brush because that is not entirely true, but that's kind of what's happening. You know, this woke military of the United States, you know, we talk about how great the United States is and how great our fighting force is. Well, tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you straight up and down. Tonight, this woke military that we have right now that's in our nation, this woke military, it cannot fight and win our nation's wars. What I mean, ladies and gentlemen, is we are in trouble as the United States of America, being the world police for some arrogant-ass reason. Now we're so damn woke that we can't even defend our own borders, much less any other nation. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are... I told you this is going to be a doozy. So, friends, we are live right now on all social media platforms. Right here we are on Facebook, Facebook and YouTube, and LinkedIn. I tell everyone, hey, all you got to do is go type in The Philip D. Blackman Show, and you can find all of my podcasts. You can find all of my social media platforms. Even if you're a Twitter head or in Twitter space, you know, the PDB Show, hey, that is where you can also find us. So, friends, if you want to leave a comment or you want to participate in the show in any way, hey, I encourage it. I want you to call. I want you to contact. I want you to text. That way I can put your comments up there, and I want you to join the conversation. Now, if you'd like, all you got to do is call the number or text the number on my screen at 409-245-9753. Again, from the listeners across the airwaves, that is 409-245-9753. To all my listeners across the nation, all of my listeners around the globe, right now we are broadcasting for the very first time in the UK, Pulse Talk Radio. Thank you for having me on. Everyone, thank you so much for tuning in. Appreciate you joining this episode number 287, The Political Military. Something we swore we'd never be, a political military. It almost makes me want to gag when I say it out loud. But this that's a hell of a title, but this episode's called episode 287, The Political Military. We are in trouble. Well, ladies and gentlemen, from our first-time listeners, and we have some first-time listeners tonight, you know, we've dedicated the opening segment of each show, and we call it End of Watch. Now, what this is our way of honoring our fallen men and women in the law enforcement community. Last year in 2021, we had 640 officers die in the line of duty. As of this show, we've lost 179. Now, we get those numbers from the Officer Down Memorial page. It's a sad reality that we are losing as many great members of the law enforcement community, people who have given their life in service to their country and their community. Also, they can be defunded. You know, we agree that when a police officer is killed, it's not just an agency that loses an officer. It is an entire nation. Here at the Philip D. Blackman Show, we support and defend them all. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we highlight a different officer every week, and this week is absolutely very different if you've been following this past week's shows. Instead of honoring one officer, we're going to be honoring two tonight. Cobb County, Georgia, Sheriff's Deputies Marshall Irvin Jr. and Jonathan Koleski is our focus for this week's End of Watch.
The Philip D. Blackman Show proudly salutes Deputy Sheriffs Marshall Irvin Jr. and Jonathan Koleski of the Cobb County Sheriff's Office in Georgia, who were shot and killed on September 8, 2022, while serving a felony theft warrant. Both deputies served their department devotedly for many years, and Deputy Koleski was also a veteran of the United States Army. Sheriff Owens described Deputies Koleski and Irvin as young, bright deputies who served their communities with dignity and honor. Deputy Irvin is survived by his wife and two children. Deputy Koleski is survived by his wife. On behalf of the Philip D. Blackman Show and a grateful nation, thank you for your service, Deputies Irvin and Koleski. Cobb County Deputy Sheriffs Marshall Irvin Jr. and Jonathan Koleski. End of Watch, September 8, 2022. Rest in peace, deputies.
We are proudly sponsored by One of a Kind Art 43, created by professional artist Tammy Blackman. Tammy offers free consultations and will customize your art piece to fit your needs. Each of her pieces are, as the name suggests, is one of a kind because each are personalized pieces, and once she is done, there will never be another. If you are interested, go visit Tammy on her social media pages, Facebook and TikTok, by searching One of a Kind Art 43, where Tammy broadcasts her work and she's making custom tumblers or canvas art for another satisfied customer. You can always reach out to Tammy through her email at oneofakindart43@gmail.com or call 409-234-5156. Although the prices vary, the quality is unmatched. Again, her social media pages are one of a kind with underscores between each word, followed by the word art and the number 43. Thank you again, Tammy, for another presence on this show.
Hmm. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Everybody knows that, Parker.
Well, did you know auctioneers make bad grocery store clerks?
It'll be $23.50. Now 75, $23.75. Hold on, I'm heading it down. $23.75, 24, hey, $24, 24 and a quarter, quarter. Now half, 24 and a half, and 75, and 25. Now a quarter, hey, 26 and a quarter. Hold on, I'm heading it down. 20, you want to do it? 5 and a quarter? Sold to the man in the khaki jacket.
Geico, 15 minutes could save you. Well, you know.
All right, friends. So, hey, before we get to this show tonight, I want to do something that I've never done before. And I want to, you know, just try to remind you folks that, hey, there are people out there right now who are having a hard time. And here's what I'm talking about. So Hurricane Fiona, now it's a Category 4 hurricane. It has taken aim at Canada, our neighbors just up to the north where residents, they're bracing for what could be one of the nation's strongest storms ever. Now, Hurricane Fiona, it's forecast to make landfall in Nova Scotia Saturday morning, bringing strong gusty winds to Nova Scotia, Newfoundland, and New Brunswick. Now, hurricane warnings or tropical storm warnings are in effect at those areas, and Fiona is expected to bring high winds, dangerous storm surge, up to 10 inches of rain, flooding, large destructive waves, power outages, and widespread damages are expected. The biggest impact here in the United States is going to be the high winds gusting at a scary 55 miles per hour. You know, you can get that anywhere else, but they're talking about in Maine, that's going to be high winds for them Saturday and an increased threat of rip currents all along the eastern seaboard with 10 to 50 foot waves along the eastern coast. Now, also, we have another little bit of great news for those of you guys who are following down here in the Gulf Coast. Tropical storm or tropical depression number 9. As we're looking at it right now, it's forecast to strengthen into a major Cat 3 hurricane with possible landfall in Florida. And that come from the National Hurricane Center. That's what they said on Friday. Now, the system, as of right now, it's located east-southeast of Kingston, Jamaica, and it's packing a maximum sustained wind of about 35 miles per hour. The National Hurricane Center released a statement saying, quote, on the forecast track, the center of the cyclone is forecast to move across the Central Caribbean Sea through Saturday, pass south of Jamaica on Sunday night or Saturday night and on Sunday and approach the Cayman Islands on Sunday night, early Monday. Some slow strengthening is forecast to bring in the next day or so, and the depression is expected to become a tropical storm by tonight, which is Friday night. So they're also saying that more significant intensification is forecast on Sunday and Monday. Current models, as you're seeing right here on my screen, are showing the system is strengthening into a Cat 1 hurricane, Hermine, early Monday. So by Wednesday, the models are showing that it's going to become a Cat 2 hurricane over Cuba. Man, let's drop some prayers for these folks before moving toward Florida on Wednesday morning at a major Cat 3 hurricane. Now, before I got to tonight's show, before I got it started, I wanted to really take a moment and send our well wishes and our prayers to all of those who have been affected and those who will be in the coming days. Now actually might be a good time for all of you, regardless of where you are, now might be a good time for you to go and donate blood, since, you know, they always seems to be the first thing that's being asked by the Red Cross in these devastated areas, and they're asking for help. So guys, donate blood, donate whatever you can to send to these areas, because it looks like these areas may get hit pretty hard. We're looking at landfall here in the United States here at about Wednesday, and of course up in Canada on Saturday. So guys, give these folks, you know, just a brief, you know, just a brief prayer if you can. Give them some, you know, go make you some donations. Do what you can to help, because that's what we're here for. Guys, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to get the show started raw. Stick around.
Black beer.
More taste or less taste?
I don't care.
Kind of how your girlfriend doesn't care that you're borrowing her pants.
Called skinny jeans. Kind of in right now.
They're kind of not.
Man up and choose a light beer with more taste. Grab a triple hops brewed Miller Lite with that great Pilsner taste.
Hey! Score still 21-32?
Yeah, just like a jean size.
All right, so there's a man named Henry Brown. He's credited with saying, the government is good at one thing. It knows how to break your legs and then hand you a crutch and say, see, if it weren't for the government, then you wouldn't be able to walk. So I guess the question that I want to pose to my listeners here, what has your government done for you lately? I mean, in spite of the many billions of dollars that our government has in its coffers and the outside influence that it holds over our nation, there's a lot of us right now, we're scratching our heads when this question is posed. What has the government done for you lately? I mean, in addition to police and fire and other emergency services, you know, we have access to a variety of other government programs. However, if one takes a step back and they look at the broader picture, it appeared that most of these programs, they were just put in place to solve a problem that the government created in the first place. See, our United States government, as much as we like to talk about how great it is, let's just be honest. This government thrives when it maintains power. And its desire for a greater power and enormous wealth motivates politicians to stay in the populace in situations that force Americans to become almost completely dependent on the government, begging for help when in need. Again, one of my favorite quotes is the great philosopher Plato that said, the measure of man is what he does with power, and we're seeing what these power-hungry bastards are doing right now. Here's a brief refresher, right? So during the COVID-19 pandemic, great example. We witnessed a myriad of problems that was created by the government, including some that are going to have these long-lasting effects in the younger generation. Businesses were closed during these mandated lockdowns, which led to a number of bankruptcies, and some employees were terminated because they refused to obtain a vaccine that, here it is, brace yourself, has now been deemed unconstitutional for a government to mandate a vaccine that they're profiting off of, more importantly. But I digress. You know, both of these outcomes that we've seen right now, you know, that both of them have drove some people into poverty. It's increased the rate of unemployment, which at one point it briefly reached almost 15%. And perhaps most importantly, the lockdowns forced most students to learn remotely, driving them away from these enriching experiences that are necessary for their development into sociable and successful young people who are eventually going to lead our societies. And recent studies demonstrate that U.S. students, they were significantly impacted by the closure of schools during the pandemic. For example, the number of children who attempted suicide, it rose by 51% at the peak of the lockdowns. In addition, the number of children who were classified as obese, it nearly doubled. That's right, not only are they more depressed, but they're fatter. And to add this insult to injury, the pandemic itself claimed lives of at least one parent or primary caregiver for more than 200,000 children. And as a result, we're seeing many children who are significantly less sociable. They're more depressed. They're more overweight. You don't have to be the head cashier at Jiffy Lube or the head mechanic at Jiffy Lube or the head cashier at Walmart to understand this right here, how the life of a child could be negatively impacted by these catastrophic government mandated changes to normal society. It should be apparent. It should be easy, but so many people, they're absolutely clueless. And that's alarming to someone like me. I mean, should we really be thankful if the government sometime in the future, if it provides us with things like, I don't know, healthcare subsidies and tax credits as some kind of penance for the harm that they caused? No, hell no. Absolutely not. When the government is the source of the problem, it shouldn't be praised for finding solutions to the problem they created. So many problems are the result of this hasty decision-making, which really results in some piss-poor policy. The situation is made even worse by the fact that sometimes the only place individuals can turn for assistance is the same government that created the issue. Now, I've got a comment here over a Messenger. Carl War, he's the man who's controlling Pulse Talk Radio. He said over in the UK, he says, our government screwed us over. And man, you're absolutely right. And I'm sorry to hear that, but it in a weird way, it kind of brings a little closure to know that, you know, it's not just us treasonous bastards who are getting sucked in by our government. But these problems created by the government, they force these people to rely on government assistance, and it leads to a myriad of issues. Chief among them are the pervasiveness of poverty, the growth of criminal activity. Crime is on the rise, poverty is on the rise, and the lack of employment opportunities for younger people on the rise. Now, the fact that many of these issues have simple solutions is the most frustrating aspect of this whole scenario. For example, in the case of children going back to school, we knew from the very start the consequences of exposing to COVID-19 would be. We knew, as well as the effect of essentially keeping children in their rooms for 2 years without even providing them the opportunity for in-person social interaction. The minimal risk of COVID to children, it did not weigh the benefit of keeping them in schools, and that's my opinion. And it's true that children, they can be carriers of the virus. That's what the science says. We trust the science, right? Even if they're not sick. However, research also suggests that the lockdowns and other restrictions to which we were subjected, it did very little, if anything, to impede the virus's ability to spread. You only need to look at no further than the state of Florida to see a state that actually broke the mold and did the polar opposite of what every other state did. And we're talking about Florida. You know, they made it possible for children to go to school. It allowed them to develop socially and intellectually. And despite breaking the mold, which was highly controversial, Florida's current COVID rates, they are still comparable to those of the general U.S. population. And it's clear that the potential dangers are relatively insignificant when they're weighed against the dangers posed to the growth and the development of our children. Take this issue into careful consideration. How do political candidates, how do they court their votes and their voters? You know, candidates, they gain support from voters by giving them that H-O-P-E, man, hope. Hope is the most powerful thing on the planet, and it's amazing that we have people on both sides of our political system, on both parties, where they believe that their side is the ones who's going to bring in hope, when truly both sides of our political spectrum here in our government is the problem. But if there's no issue at all, there can't be any hope for a future without it, right? So after the government has fixed a problem that it created, our elected officials almost no trouble promoting their accomplishments on television or online. Here's a great example. With the fuel prices here in our country, you know, we heard the whole time as prices were going up that, oh, we can't buy. The Biden administration said, we do not control the spigot. We do not control the prices. This is not our fault. But now what are we at? What, 50 days plus of consistently falling prices? It may even be higher than that. But this administration is going out there saying, well, hey, fuel prices are going down because we did that for you. So wait a minute. So you're telling me that when gas prices are going up, the government can't control any of it. But when the prices are going down, it is their policies that made it happen. You know, pain and suffering, you know, it's become a part of so many people's lives in all these different countries. But especially here in America, you know, our daily lives, and a result, so many people, they don't really notice how the government wrongs them because they're used to getting wronged every day. Corruption, it is an ongoing issue in this government. It's one of the biggest factors contributing to the decline of our communities and our nation as a whole. But Americans, they're no longer unified. We're divided by these partisan policies, and it's made worse by the efforts of the government to increase its control over us. And unfortunately, as long as there is civilization, there will be those who seek to rule and rule only. And the government needs the only one idea to guide them. More issues equal more solutions. You know, the scale of this Joe Biden big government socialist disaster that we're witnessing here is becoming more obvious. You know, Rasmussen, it's a polling firm, has reported that 88% of Americans agree that we are in a cost of living crisis. In fact, 66%, two out of every three people, they said we have a cost of living serious. It's a very serious crisis. Now, on Tuesday, economist Steve Moore, he, you know, in his invaluable Unleash Prosperity hotline, you know, he reported that Biden's big government socialist programs had dropped real earnings by $3,000 for the average American in less than 2 years, with even more cuts to real income coming down the road. So for 17 consecutive months under Biden, or 19, excuse me, the cost of living, it's risen faster than wages. The most recent Consumer Price Index report had an average rise of 8.3%. But even this understates the pain that we're seeing in these in very key areas of our living. You know, fuel, it's up 68%. And when you talk about fuel, I want you to pay attention very carefully what happens in November, New Hampshire, northern Wisconsin, Michigan, when this hits home. But as of right now, electricity is up 15.8%, and more than 20 million American families are already behind in paying their electric bills. You know, the biggest impact, it may be on the price of food, which is up 80% or 8% at restaurants, but a staggering 13.5% at the grocery store. You know, this is the large, which tells you, ladies and gentlemen, it's actually probably a lot cheaper just to go out to eat every meal than instead of going to the grocery store and buying for the week. You know, this is the largest jump in grocery prices in 43 years. But we're not hearing anything about it, are we? You know, grocery bills are almost certain to go up in September and October as the combined effects of the food disruption for Ukraine and Russia, drought, and a good bit of American farmland, drought in Brazil. And all these things are combining to drive the price of food. Beef, for example, it may face a supply shortage and skyrocketing prices. As the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics reported, right here it is on the screen, they say, quote, the food index increased by 10.9% over last year, the largest 12-month increase in the reported period ending in May of 1979. The food at home index, it rose 13.1% over 12 months. That's the largest 12-month increase since the period ending in March of 79. The index for other food at home rose 15.8%. The index for cereals and bakery products increased 15% over the year, and the remaining major grocery store food groups posted an increase ranging from 9.3%, fruits and vegetables, to 14.9%, dairy and related products. You know, the cost of living crisis, it's reached even soldiers in the United States military, and this quote right here is what's really got me doing this show. And, you know, the online web publication called Just the News, they report on September 11 that the U.S. Army recommended that low-ranking soldiers, the United States Army has recommended that their fighting force, the people who are charged with defending freedom, who's going out, whose job is to fight and win wars, now they're telling them, hey, we recommend that you go get welfare and food stamps to make ends meet. Are you kidding me? You're serving your country, but hey, we want you to go get food stamps, you know, just to help you out, right? Here it is, the outlet reported quote, based on the Pentagon's own data, 24% of enlisted personnel are food insecure. What a bunch of bullshit. When you know, this is kind of part, this should really be part of the redefining America issue here, right? Because when you say that 24% of enlisted personnel are food insecure, no, they're poor. Let's call it what it is. Food insecure makes it sound like maybe they're anorexic or something absolutely stupid. But to say they're food insecure, kiss my ass. You know, while food stamps, they go on to write that while food stamps are a Band-Aid, they're also an admission that basic pay for enlisted troops and their families, it's too low. And further exacerbated by unyielding inflation causing paychecks to shrink more. So Tammy Blackman, she writes in the chat, she says, all of this, in my opinion, is to make the American people depend on the government. They are responsible for this. They know that most people would not come to them willingly. Absolutely, because there's not really a lot of trust in our government. But, you know, when you read a statement like that, that 24% of enlisted personnel are food insecure, and, you know, well, we have food stamp, it's a Band-Aid, but we need to pay them more. We've been saying that for years. You know, when I was in the military, this is nothing new, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. This is something that even I called out as a non-commissioned officer when I was in the military. There's no reason that the only reason that troops should be having to draw food stamps or whatever is because they have poor money management, not because they have poor money pay. So really, it's no wonder that there's a recruiting problem in the United States military. We're asking young men and women to risk their lives for our safety and our freedom in exchange for a salary structure which is going to require them to apply for food stamps to feed their families. You know, at the same time, Biden and this big government socialist, they can find billions of dollars to forgive debt for college student graduates with good jobs, tens of billions of dollars to take care of people who cross the border illegally, and not one penny more for the lowest paid men and women in uniform. In the middle of this cost of living crisis, Biden and the big government socialists, they prove really just how out of touch they are with reality. And when they're scheduled a White House event to celebrate the dishonestly named Inflation Reduction Act, in that event, Democrats, they celebrated a bill that most Americans believe is going to increase inflation because of its increased government spending. At the same time, the new higher inflation rate, it was announced when they were saying how great this inflation reduction bill happened is going to take place. The report came out. Inflation is still high. As the Dow Jones Industrial averaged about 1,200 points, it dropped over these new inflation numbers. Joe Biden congratulated himself. All these politicians up on the Hill, they congratulated themselves on spending more money. Now, of course, what more really can we truly expect out of an administration who redefines, who backtracks, and who just outright lies to the American people, knowing damn well that they're never going to be held accountable for their actions? And for those of you hoping that the Republicans are going to take control and start giving back what they've received for the past 4 years, keep dreaming. Those bastards are just as bad as the Democrats. They don't have any desire to fix anything because they would rather the issue stay broken, so they can have something to bitch about. That's all this current Congress and political spectrum is all about. Complaining about how the other side is wrong about this, that, or the other. If you need an example, look no further than what's going on at our southern border. Now, granted, this border crisis has gotten worse under Biden, but it didn't start with Joe Biden. We don't want to ever admit that out loud, do we? No. Unbelievable numbers of administrations have passed with the problems of our border, and none of them have successfully done anything about it. But before I move on to the border, I want to get back to this conversation with the military and the woke plague that's infiltrated the Department of Defense, making our military even weaker. We're no longer focused on the mission of destroying enemy threats to our country because we're too busy destroying the backbone of our military by introducing some of the most backward-ass thinking policies that are seeing some of the best and most qualified leaders in the military leave for greener pastures. We're going to take a quick break, guys, and I want you to allow myself to calm down here momentarily, because this is, as I'm getting into this, it's almost becoming too much, right? So I'm going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to discuss the purposeful destruction of our military from the not from the outside pushing from these outside entities, the outside forces or countries who's pushing propaganda or even stealing state secrets. No. It's the purposeful destruction of our military from our own leaders who have forgotten what it means to serve your country selflessly, all in the name of wokeism. Guys, stick around.
And now, another priceless pep talk from Peyton Manning.
I heard you bummed about driving a minivan. It's okay. It's okay. Is it at least like a sport turbocharged minivan or something? No? All right, here's what you're going to do. Take that baby out and paint some flames on it, or get a cool decal. Maybe like a number 18 on the side or something. Yeah. You're feeling me. You love it.
Go to priceless.com for a personalized pep talk you can send.
How you doing? Yeah.
How you doing? Jerry there.
Yeah. How you doing?
How you doing?
So what's going on?
You don't want to know.
You know, friends, the importance of a strong military for any country, but more importantly for the United States of America, it cannot be overstated. One of the few responsibilities the federal government explicitly is mandated by the United States Constitution is to provide for the common defense. When I enlisted in the U.S. Army, and each time I was promoted up, you know, through the final rank of staff sergeant, and all three times I reenlisted, I swore an oath, like every American service member, to support and defend the Constitution. The core mission of the American military is to protect and defend our nations. And this means deterring political or potential aggressors, and if deterrence fails, fighting and winning wars. This is the foundational principle of the United States military. The armed forces of the United States, the Department of Defense, literally exist to deter war and decisively win them. All else is ancillary, and while important, it's marginal to its primary mission. Recently, the Pentagon reported that every branch of the U.S. military is falling short of its recruiting goals for this year. For example, in the present fiscal year, the United States Army is short 10,000 new troops and projects about a 28,000 recruit shortfall for the fiscal year of 23. Over the next 2 years, the Army is predicted to be about 40,000 recruits short of what is needed to maintain our current fighting force. And some question whether we're actually considering the idea of making the draft be reinstituted, calling into question whether the all-volunteer force that was established in 1973 is still viable. The struggle to get young people to join the military is partly to blame on the fact that obesity and drug use and criminal records, they disqualify some individuals. Last month, the Army Chief of Staff, General James McConnell, he testified before Congress that only 23% of Americans aged 17 to 24 are qualified to serve without a waiver to join, and that's down from 29% in recent years. However, an internal Defense Department survey obtained by NBC News found that 9% of those young Americans eligible to serve in the military had any inclination to do so. That's the lowest number since 2007. Even the people physically and mentally qualified have real reservations about joining our military. Why is the most powerful fighting force in the world struggling to find people who want to join? I want to examine that question in this segment, The Breakdown. You know, quite frankly, you know, overall trust in the U.S. government and its institutions, it has declined. And of course, this impacts the armed forces. Last year, there was a survey by the Ronald Reagan Presidential Foundation Institute. It revealed that only 45% of Americans had a great deal of trust in our military. Do you believe that? That 45% of Americans who are polled have a great deal of trust in our military. Why? You know, that number is strikingly down 25 points in just 3 years. You see, the Army's now offering these flexible enlistments, which is beyond me, but these enlistments from 2 to 6 years, and they're even offering $10,000 bonuses if a person agrees to go to basic training immediately instead of the delayed entry program. Some branches of the military, they're offering bonuses of up to $50,000 for certain job specialties in the Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines. But according to an NBC report, one U.S. military official said, quote, "We can throw money at the problem all we want, but until we change how young people see us in uniform, we're going to struggle to get them to raise their right hand." Now, look, I'll submit there's more to the problem than that. You know, the shortage of recruits, it can be traced to senior leadership in the military. Mark Milley is a great example. You know, the top officials at the Pentagon. You know, it's related to the leadership at the DOD trying to change the culture in the military to make it more woke. And God damn, I hate that term, woke, W-O-K-E, man, because I've said it before and I'll say it again. The people who claim to be the most woke are the ones who have their eyes shut the tightest. They don't want to see what's going on. You know, in testimony before Congress, the man who you can't say military without Milley, General Mark Milley, the chairman, Joint Chief of Staff, Lloyd Austin, the Secretary of Defense, they vividly illustrated their disconnect with the rank and file of not only those people who are serving, but those who are considering even joining. So to try to relate the potential recruits, they literally illustrated their discontent from the very target audience they seek. The top two leaders in the Department of Defense, one is a four-star general and the other one is a retired four-star general, both of whom I've met in passing. They've implied that one of the dangers of today's U.S. military is racism and the presence of white supremacists in the ranks. That is their assertion. That is not an accurate assertion. That's a political stance because there's no evidence to support it. For anyone who's ever served in the military, they know that this is a farce. This is bullshit. And it's an attempt by two men who know better than to try to illustrate how in touch they are with the left-leaning administration and the concerns of the left of progressives in society at large. And it's interesting to say that there's not racist and radicals in the force, because there are. That's absolutely true. But it's not a systemic problem. You know, it's these kinds of individuals, they're the rare exception in the ranks, and they're deplored and they're opposed by all service members, regardless of their walk of life. You know, like America generally, the armed forces, they're not racist with a few anti-racists in it. Rather, the opposite's true. The United States Armed Forces is proudly and extremely anti-racist with very few racists in it. So the United States military was fully integrated in 1948. In my experience, was that a sure way to end your career is to mistreat anyone based off their skin tone or their gender. We took pride in our love for one another and our unity. We were a family. We will talk shit back and forth to each other, but let somebody from the outside give it a try and watch how we stack up on them. You know, people in the military, they don't care about one's race or one's gender or one's religion or sexual orientation. No. Those matters just simply are not important to any of us. You know, when you're in a foxhole with someone, you know, literally or figuratively, I guess, what you care about is the person next to you having your back, you having theirs. And hopefully they're trained really, really good at using their weapon that's been issued to them. You know, Pentagon leadership, who's parroting this White House line, they identify climate change as an existential threat to the military. Climate change is an existential threat is what they're saying. Climate change, white supremacy, and racism are existential threats. Again, these are people who can't even spell the word existential, but yet they continue to say it a lot. The service academies that are out there, they devote time and energy to accepting one's chosen gender identification using the correct pronoun when they're addressing anyone. You know, these issues, they're simply not issues for most people wearing the uniform. Matters like these, and whether you're your battle buddy, your wingman, your whatever you want to call them, whether they're secretly a domestic terrorist or simply nowhere near the top list for the people in the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and I guess we should say Space Force and the Coast Guard, although they're Department of Homeland Security, not DOD. But when a problem that's a rare exception, it's inaccurately defined as a problem permeating the force, not only is it insulting and demoralizing to those who serve, it's a negative to those who are considering even joining the military as well. Who wants to join a toxic environment? Raise your hand. You know, when leaders major on the minors, you know, like these issues, you can be assured that they're only minoring on the majors, right? General Milley, for example, he tried to defend critical race theory within our ranks by saying that it was merely a matter of trying to understand what upsets people. But he didn't want to know what upsets people. He wants to know what upsets white people. He even says so. I want to understand white rage, and I'm a white guy. Well, no shit. Ray Charles could see that. But there's very few people in the military who spend any time truly thinking about critical race theory. Now, he may be upset about his perceived societal problem by a minority of people, but his troops generally are not. You know, in defense of certain questionable books being promoted by the military was his own desire to understand CRT and white rage. And perhaps that's the issue for the general himself, not the entire fighting force. It's not generally an issue for the men and women serving. Secretary Lloyd Austin, he took pride in an anti-extremism stand down, you know, which is where they had service members that were required to stop training and other activities to ponder the issue of extremism in the military today. Now, look, they all appreciated it as a day off of not being in the field, but yet they were death by PowerPoint over shit that doesn't really matter in their realm. Admiral Michael Gilday, he's the chief naval, he's the chief of naval operations. He's the highest ranking sailor in the Navy. Former military officer Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas, he sparred with the admiral over these controversial books that he recommended readings for sailors. And one of the books that he was highly critical of capitalism, as opposed to beliefs that were held by communists and Marxists. You know, the exchange between two men, it was very revealing in this of the woke agenda that's being pushed not only by the average service member, but really by their highest leaders in our echelon. What we need, ladies and gentlemen, is we need warrior generals. Instead, we have these woke generals, or at least at the highest levels of Pentagon. And it's no wonder that these young people, they're not inspired to serve, and that the U.S. Armed Forces, they're not meeting their recruiting goals. Who is surprised? Again, I will give you an opportunity. Raise your hand. Yeah, it doesn't exist. That's all you're going to hear if you ask a normal service member if they give a shit about that. The focus in the military today, it is completely misguided. The Pentagon, it's missing their target audience. And most people who join the military, they're from the American South or the Midwest, and they're more conservative parts of our country. I suppose that's why they think there's a problem with racism and extremists and MAGA Republicans. Get out of here. You know, they're primarily concerned with the woke versions of this thing called equity and diversity. And really, truly, what is wrong with America? Can you imagine expecting people to go fight and be willing to die for a country that they believe is inherently racist and is inherently horrible and doesn't represent them? It creates a toxic fighting force that no military can withstand. We don't need China or Russia to weigh in on these on us or our allies. We don't need them. All they got to do is play the waiting game and watch, and we will eat ourselves from within. You know, they're truly turned off by the recent recruiting commercials, which really reveal this obsession with left-wing social engineering by Pentagon leaders. If you want to watch probably the most disgusting display of woke military, man, go check out the latest Army recruiting videos, where it's really just like a piss-poor anime version of Woke 101. It's disgusting. There's nothing that he's even remotely serious about our recruiting commercials. It doesn't inspire anything unless you're trying to jumpstart a vomit. But these young men and women, they're not losing sleep over climate change, even though it's an existential threat, according to the leaders. When these are the issues at the top of the list for our senior leaders, it is going to be very predictable that people are not going to want to join. And until we have new leadership at the Pentagon and a renewed emphasis on American greatness and patriotism and selfless service, our military will continue to struggle with recruiting. I don't know what it looks like for these other countries, but I know here in America, we are in bad shape. And we call ourselves the world police. Our senior military leaders, they need to seriously rethink what it is they're emphasizing. Quit paying untold amounts of money in marketing and focus groups that's led by people who've never even laced up a pair of combat boots and never even have any idea of ever wanting to serve. Get back to the basics. People who join the military, they're realistic about what might be wrong with America. They know what it is. But they also know that we are unique in the world, and they join the military due to their love of their country and their willingness to sacrifice themselves in the service of their nation. But I want you to ignore all the pictures of the Afghan army that our military senior leader geniuses spent 20 years and zillions of dollars on disintegrating in the face of a pack of glorified mountain banditos from the 7th century. The real story is that, finally, America's fighting men and women, they're fully aware of the urgency of accepting and validating the trans experience, right? And it's even better if the said trans person is a black or indigenous person of color. Plus, we got to go ahead and add in if they're differently abled. I suppose this segment really could be written off as the rant of some old crusty-ass combat veteran who may have passed his prime. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think that's the case for me. I think I'm just getting started, but really, who's counting anyway? But as much as I love my country and I love my veterans, I think our military has itself undergone a transition in its own right because we're no longer about fighting enemies of our nation anymore. No, we've transitioned to a military who's interested in fighting ourselves in this pathetic game of a one-man rock fight, or even better, a one-man game of freeze tag, and we have frozen ourselves with no one to unfreeze us. It's time to do the dirty. Fire every one of these damn generals. Invite a few of them back, maybe a dozen, but clean out the Pentagon. Can all the diversity consultants and equal opportunity officers and climate change mitigation specialists and every other strap-hanging oxygen thief who doesn't contribute to the only thing the military should be focusing on right now, which is putting warheads on foreheads? Yeah, there's been a strategic failure of epic proportions by our civilian establishment, and we need to fix that at the ballot box by tossing out every damn Democrat and most of the Republicans and every Liz Cheney-esque combat tourist who delights in sending our young people overseas to die for their profits, just to get up in a idiotic wars designed to enrich their cronies. I mean, the hardest people that were hit by Afghanistan, by the end of Afghanistan here, was Halliburton and Raytheon and KBR and 100 other contractors you probably never even heard of. Oh, by the way, don't forget the Afghanistan people. They never really truly figured into this calculus except for the abstract idea that we're going to convert a nation of savages into these little Vermonters living a Norman Rockwell dream of community democracy. 20 years of failure. 20 years. Man, how fast and far have we fallen? I was there 20 years ago. I was working right alongside a 5th Corps, 82nd Airborne, 3rd ACR, 101st Airborne Division, 5th Group Special Forces, and of course the 52nd Ordnance Group, where we defused bombs when the greatest military force in human history annihilated a country's entire army in 100 hours, and they barely broke a sweat doing it. Now, amazingly, we did it without even giving a single thought to our alleged privilege. To the extent of, maybe sleeping on anything resembling a bed in the middle of a desert, that is what constituted privilege for us. But look at us now, right? Look at the generals in their stupid-ass throwback uniforms from the 40s that are supposed to make a gender study seminar that we call the U.S. Army think that it's the same force that broke Adolf Hitler. It's not. A serious organization, it doesn't alternate its designation of America's most serious threat between the weather and racism and other Americans who dissent from the general's bosses, these political priorities. You know, the Navy's busy smashing ships into each other or even letting them burn, but it'll tell you that the most effective and lethal fighting force ever. That's bullshit. China has the number one Navy in the world. You know, our Navy's glided along its World War II legacy as well for going on to, for now we're looking at close to a century. You know, it imagines that that its glorious naval tradition is going to compensate for the fact that the Chinese are actually building combat-ready ships and learning how to use them while we're worried about gender studies. You know, the Carthaginians, you know, they were like that too. You know, in Carthage, you know, they were fat and smug and eager to sacrifice their children to these false idols, just like our garbage elite. The Romans, who had no naval tradition, they took one of their boats and they copied it. Does that sound familiar? Then they built a navy. Does that ring a bell? Then the Romans cleared the seas of Carthaginians and went on to rule the world for another 500 plus years while Carthage's fields are still recovering from the salted fields of 100 years ago. You know, we called it when it happened against this Biden narrative that there would soon be little or no Afghanistan left un-Talibaned. You know, its capitals would be grabbed up faster than the free crack pipes at Hunter Biden's soiree, but I digress. Our military's begun eating themselves because of the pseudo-leader ass-kissers who are only interested in career advancements and stock options with these defense contracts. They've taken their eye off the mission of defending our nation's borders, and instead, they've taken to see who can be the most woke while the chairman of the Joint Chief of Staff, Mark Milley, is in desperate search for the root cause of white rage or some other politically correct BS. You know, we saw the root cause when we watched those generals, you know, bedecked in medals from their failed campaigns, sitting before Congress defending their stupid reading list, consisting of the kind of stupid books that vapid, frigid, Chardonnay pussies and from Santa Monica read, not combat leaders. Move over, Sun Tzu. Henry Ibram X. Kendi Rogers has some insights on why the country that you swore to die for completely sucks. You know, that should motivate a 19-year-old paratrooper from Omaha, Nebraska to take that hill, don't you think? I mean, General Patton or General Schwarzkopf, who we need now more than ever, right now. Get out of the way, gentlemen, because here comes Dr. Robin DiAngelo to explain how everyone's racist, especially you. So wait a minute. So your job is to give your life for racist? Man, no wonder we lose and our recruiting numbers are at an all-time low. We're not a serious military. It's now a jobs program for the semi-employable field grade flag officers, failures to time serve until they can really retire and get that sweet, sweet gig at MSNBC or CNN. At the rate they're going to need bodies to fill those primetime slots, and really since their staff is going to boot. But, you know, who got fired for the Afghanistan debacle? Anyone? Anyone? Bueller? Did anybody get fired for Afghanistan? No. And no one's ever going to. Accountability, man. That is like the garlic to these energy vampires of our failed ruling caste. It's just as foreign to the American military leadership as it is to our civilian counterparts. We are going to lose. Pay attention, ladies and gentlemen, because I'm telling you right now, and the only reason I'm telling you is because I love you and it's got to be true. We are going to lose our next few foreign wars. We're damn sure going to get our ass kicked in the next one. And it's most likely going to be with China. You know, thousands of Americans, they're going to die when their ships go down because of these PRA hypersonic missiles. And after much soul searching, the members of our establishment, they're going to determine that the fault lies with everyone else but them. But it's your fault, right? But the next war, it's probably not going to be a foreign one. That's my prediction. You know, our lousy general officer corps, they got the message, the new enemy du jour, it's us. The dissenters, the deplorables, the ones they expect to breed the next generation of soldiers for them to play with. Why, you couldn't expect young Caden from the Upper West Side to choose to be one of those dirty Marines instead of going to Dartmouth, did you? I mean, but on the bright side, when they try to turn the American military against the people, and I hear this from a lot of people, well, what happens when the military takes up arms against their people? I'm going to tell you right now, ladies and gentlemen, if that is your concern, I want you to know, stop worrying about it. There is no reason to believe right now that whatever remains of the undeserted of the 2 million or so active and reserve troops that we have now will be any more effective here in the United States against 100 million armed Americans with significant number of vets in America's military from back when it didn't suck than it was against those patent tribesmen of the Hindu Kush. But there is hope for rebirth. As a hierarchical organization, the military responds to what its civilian leadership demands. The current crop of lapdogs understood that President Dementia Joe, he wants wokeness and weather panic. He got it. Your new president, I don't know, maybe DeSantis or someone closer to the center. Hopefully a new president is going to be the person who's going to walk in and fire just about every 07 and a lot of 06s. And they need to tell the remaining guys who need to do, who need to redo the post-Vietnam rebuild, that their focus is warfighting. The enemy's not race hustlers, the climate, or American patriots. It's these countries who want to see our way of life drop. Maybe even the people who are running our country. Well, guys, I want to get to these comments real quick. Tammy Blackman says, people should be mindful. Our enemies are. They're most definitely watching what's happening here. Roxanne Kirby says, figure up how much they would receive in food stamps and increase their paycheck that much. Give our fighting heroes just as much as the useless Congress gets. Amen. Tammy says, fuck yes, you just said a mouthful. And that is exactly what we're trying to do. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the breakdown. We're going to wrap it up. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And I want to come back with something just really, really special. Guys, stick around. We're going to come back with you on the other side with one final thing.
Budweiser presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
While lesser designers would shy away from putting 300-pound men in spandex, you embrace it.
Yes, you do.
Pushing fashion to its limits, literally, you pair tights with a cape, a leotard with a mask, leather boots with a thong.
Oh, looking good.
All understated ways of saying, I'm going to rip your head off and look fabulous doing it.
Ripping off heads.
So this bud's for you, Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Guy. Because without you, a man crushing another man's head in his arms would just look silly.
Mr. Pro Wrestling Wardrobe Designer.
On a joyous Fansville by Dr. Pepper.
By the power vested in me by the city of Fansville, I now pronounce you fan and wife.
Natalie drops back into the pocket. It's a three-step drop. Trisha's wide open. Here comes the throw. Oh, Becky with the pick. Holy mackerel. We take a look at it. See that full extension by Becky? Let's go back to the action. Oh! At this point, it's anyone's bouquet. Up next, the garter toss.
Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve.
All right, friends. So, hey, look, thank you for sticking around with me. Happy Friday, episode 287, Political Military. We Are in Trouble is the name of the episode. 409-245-9753 is the number to call. Now, look, I wanted to end this week in this episode with a bit of humorous note that is sure, I'm guessing, going to give you good vibrations as we wrap up the tumultuous summer as a box has apparently lost its load. Excuse me, let me get that right. A box truck allegedly lost its load on Interstate 40 in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, last Wednesday afternoon. So Oklahoma drivers, they had a slippery commute, to say the least, on Wednesday after a semi-tractor trailer allegedly spilled with lubricant and dildos. It crashed and flooded the I-40 highway before reaching a major sex toy distributor. This article's so stupid. Before reaching a major sex toy distribution center. Guys, if you haven't read this story, man, I just want to just type in sex toy accident in Oklahoma City. And I'm sure they'll do a better job than I'm doing at reading it. But so there's footage from the crash site that shows in the picture you see here an overturned semi truck with hundreds hundreds of boxes of metal cans and pink labels that were spilled out onto the highway on the western end of Oklahoma City. No one was injured, but the lubricated road allegedly took hours to clean up. Tammy says right here, this is ridiculous. I see what you did there. So here's the good news. They're coming to the rescue. An adult device company sprung into action last Wednesday to offer relief. There's your air quotes. That was to affected customers by a tractor trailer crash in Oklahoma City that spilled a shipment of dildos and lubricant onto the highway. So the group is called Cam Soda. They claim that several trucks full of dildos and lube are going to go all the way to replace what was lost in this devastating incident. Okay, I guess devastating means something new, but I digress. So a spokesperson for the company said that in a statement that they had supplies ready to replace what was lost within hours of the Wednesday spill. They say, This is the company, I shit you not, this is their quote. Quote, our hearts go out to all those affected by the accident. We understand these are stressful times, and these supplies are what help people take a load off. Giggity. And that's come from Vice President Darren Parker. He said in a statement that, quote, our trucks are on the way and will be providing relief in no time. So there was a KWTV News 9 anchor and the station's helicopter operator. They had a really, really awkward exchange on the air over the accident, not safe for work content. So the anchor's name was Lacey Lowry. She asked what was on the road, to which the pilot replied, whatever it is, it's going to take a while to clean up. He knew what it was. He just didn't want to say it on the air. All right, so check this. Here's the live coverage.
A little bit of gear is going to some breaking news right now. Let's get out to Jim Gardner. He's over I-40 right at Mustang Road, a bad crash. Go ahead, Jim.
I'm thinking Jim is trying to stifle
his
laughter.
This is a semi that overturned and lost its load here. It has also involved this box truck that's on a little bit further east there. Involved this box truck that they're being loaded right there now. This semi overturned right at I-40, right where the on-ramp is to go to the new Turnpike Spur here. It is also the Mustang on-ramp. When you get off Mustang to get onto I-40 eastbound, that's also the Mustang on-ramp. That is completely shut down due to he's all the way across the lanes there. So they already got the wreckers here, but there is a lot of stuff to clean up. So this Turnpike Spur and Mustang on-ramp here at I-40 will probably be closed for quite some time. Jim Garpoint live from Bob Mills. Scott, who's 9, back to you.
Jim, can you tell what he's carrying there? What's all over the road?
Listen to this silence. This is unbelievable. He knows what it is.
All right, that's
a mess for
yeah,
sure.
That's the latest. I-40 eastbound.
Looks
like some...
We're zooming in. Not really... Maybe you
some
can tell. I can't tell. You know, the good thing involved in this, too, is the driver's not injured.
Good.
There's no injuries, but there's a lot of stuff laying on the road. Whatever it is, it's going to take a while to clean up.
You know what it is, sir.
Jim Gardner over the scene in Bob Mills Sky News 9. Again, I-40 eastbound, blocking the Kilpatrick exit or on-ramp, if you will, right at Mustang Road. We will update you on this big traffic snarl as soon as it's cleared. Right now, let's get over to Lacey.
You know, did you hear he said he lost his load? Wow, right? So, oh my God. So, all right, so among the toys identified were the Adam and Eve son of a bitch. I've read this story like 5 times and I didn't have this kind of problem. All right, but so among the toys identified were the Adam and Eve G-Spot finger vibrators, 4 tons of anal lube, butt plugs, and silicone dildos were strewn across the continent-spanning highway, and the Secretary of Transportation, Pete Buttigieg, had nothing to say? Are you kidding me? Pete Buttigieg, of all people, our Transportation Secretary, had nothing to say about this. I'm guessing maybe it's because it won't affect his supply, so there's really no need for comment. Who knows? But however, the lingering question here is that, are you seeing this, Biden administration? A spokesman for the company who makes dildos, anal lubes, and butt plug and the Adam and Eve G-Spot finger vibrator, they said in a statement they had supplies ready to replace what was lost within hours of the spill. Now, perhaps you need to find out whoever that spokesman is and make them the Secretary of Transportation, since they know what's important and they get to work on solving problems. He's a theme doer. Probably in more ways than one, but I digress. So the only thing that would have made this a perfect story is if it happened in San Francisco, California, where we could have watched a bunch of gender-confused adults rushing to the road for a life-or-death game of silicone sword fight. Or, I don't know, maybe if it happened in Hershey, Pennsylvania, you know, anywhere near the Hershey Highway, that would have made it so much funnier. But this was pretty good. I honestly feel that for those tens of thousands of women, I really feel for those tens of thousands of women who are waiting impatiently by their door for their carrier to bring them some kind of package. Giggity. But the good news is, Oklahoma City, ugly men, if you live there, now is the time to slap on that few coats of Brute aftershave or High Karate or Old Spice, whatever your daddy wore, and your starched Wranglers, because there's going to be a lot of lonely women right now looking for company since their battery-operated boyfriend never made it for date night. At least the sex toy company can now market these as barely used, run over only once, I guess. But if anything, these can go to third world countries where they send the losing team Super Bowl champion t-shirts, because beggars rarely are choosers. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining me tonight. That does it for me. I appreciate you tuning into the show that seeks not only to provide that middle ground analysis, but to remain consistent to that inconvenient truth that so many people refuse to see. Spilled over dildos on the highway, that is a supermarket sweep if you're interested in that kind of thing. You could have went and helped, and no one would have said anything about you, because no one wants to touch that shit anyway, unless you're a dildo maker. Now, ladies and gentlemen, until next time, thank you so much for your service and your patriotism to this country. Without our men and women in uniform, our veteran community, and great Americans, great citizens like yourself, man, we're seeing it. Our countries are turning into different places, places that we don't even recognize anymore. Now is the time, friends. Don't let your dog tags dangle in the dirt. Stay on your feet and continue to fight that good fight against everything that's wrong. If you love your freedom, thank a veteran. If you love your peace, thank a police officer. And if you see a first responder, man, give them a high five and a handshake and tell them job well done, because a lot of them still haven't been given their credence considering all the sacrifices they made during the difficult times of 2020 to even today. So God bless each and every one of you. God bless the United States of America, wherever country you're listening to, guys. Take care of yourselves. My name is Philip Blackman. Catch me every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 5 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time right here. Guys, thank you so much. I hope you have a blessed and wonderful weekend. Get off the internet. Get off the social media. Get off the news. Spend time with those you love, because I'm telling you, there's going to be a time when you're going to wish that you had that you hadn't wasted that moment with the loved ones that you care about. Take care of yourselves, friends. My name is Philip Blackman. I'm out of here.